In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on February 2nd, 2016. This is the official podcast of For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for For Whom the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow For Whom the Cowbell Tolls writer, Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I'm fine, and everybody, as we record, Ethan is a birthday boy. Woo!
Yeah, and your birthday is Wednesday.
Wednesday, yes.
So we're going to, yeah, birthday week for this show.
Yeah. Woo! You are turning what age, Ethan?
21.
Have you gotten drunk?
I had a couple of drinks before my class at 2 because I forgot about my class at 2. And then I rode my bike across campus while it was the busiest part of the day. And then, it was interesting.
And
it was the most
question.
Boring class. No, I didn't get drunk.
There we go.
I gotten drunk. But I was a little tipsy trying to ride my bike. I don't know if I should have admitted that.
Well, you're 21. Oh. You can admit it all you want now. So
that's true. I wasn't riding it on the road. So
how much cake have you eaten? Did your friends buy you a cake?
No, I didn't get any cake.
Did you do any birthday plans? Any go out to eat with friends?
No, I had to meet with a group to study.
Would that have been planned regardless of your birthday?
Yeah.
So you did nothing for your birthday?
I mean, I celebrated my birthday with my family way back a month ago.
Oh.
Today was just kind of relax, have a few drinks. I ended up buying Crown Royal Regal Apple, which is
that
the best thing
fancy.
Ever. I mean, it wasn't that expensive, but it tastes phenomenal when you mix it with cranberry Sprite.
Are you going to get any Apple Ciroc Celebrate Success right?
No. No.
Okay.
I am not DJ Khaled. I am not like 300 pounds. No.
Are you sure?
Doesn't he talk about Ciroc and then working out like back to back and mm-hmm. stuff in Snapchat?
Yeah.
It doesn't click with me. Because you can't drink a whole bunch and then expect to be in fantastic shape unless you have like super genetics or work out tremendously. Like it just, because it's just empty carbs, alcohol and such. It's not going to help you get in shape. No.
All
and
right.
DJ Khaled is a big man.
He is a big man. Today on the show, Mississippi State won another basketball game. Can you believe it?
Yay. Our ninth of the season?
Yeah. A 76-62 win over Missouri. Mississippi State's women's basketball game team won two games, and we're going to talk about one, beating Tennessee for the first time ever.
Yeah. A huge win.
Not
a huge win, but like monumental win.
And the men's basketball team will play Alabama tomorrow as we record, today as you listen. And also recruiting, National Signing Day is coming up.
Recruit. Don't tweet recruits.
I agree with that. It's coming up on my birthday, and that means it's going to be a horrible birthday gift. But anyways, we will discuss that later in the show, but we're going to start
off. Yeah, we'll
off.
Also have some guests on that show.
Yeah. Thanks, Ethan.
You're welcome.
We're having Ole Miss people on the show, and Ethan scheduled
it. From Red Cup Rebellion.
Yeah, Ole Miss people we're having them on the show. I wasn't a part of this. Ethan did this. Ethan, you have some explaining to do.
Well,
Ole Miss
is good for the podcast because it creates controversy.
So, Ole Miss people who are fans of a team with the number 3 recruiting class in the country is going to be coming onto the show on National Signing Day while we're limping with we'll get lucky to get a top 50 class. Whoop-de-doo.
Okay, one, it's ranked like 40th in the nation right now.
According to Scout, 46.
Oh, whatever. Who cares? Okay, we'll talk more about that later. But two, it's not that much different from the rest of Mullen's classes outside of last year in 2009. So let's pump the brakes on the drive off the cliff mobile.
I'm not driving off the cliff mobile. I am driving near the cliff and frustration mobile.
Toward the lake. Yeah.
Okay. But we'll talk about that later. Let's start off with some good news. The Mississippi State basketball team defeated Missouri. We beat a team on the road, Ethan. This is not a drill.
Is Missouri really a basketball team?
They are an object.
I mean,
they are a thing.
They have probably 5 guys that play basketball as well as I do.
You mean like 5 guys?
I'm not exactly a star.
You mean 5 guys, burgers and fries?
No, I mean,
because that's how they play. I mean, they play like burgers and fries. Yeah,
they're just not a good team. They shot 2 of 25 from 3-point range.
Yeah, that's
23
over. Stop talking. That's a staggering 8%.
Yeah, it's just not good. They had,
what is an 8? What is that?
They had 8 steals. That's actually pretty good defense.
You're trying to figure out good things about this team in this game, aren't you? Just something.
We out-rebounded them.
Without Gavin Ware.
Yeah.
They let Quindary Weatherspoon get... How many rebounds did he have?
14.
14 rebounds. They let Quindary Weatherspoon get 14 rebounds. That's a guard. Quindary Weatherspoon's a guard.
He is 6'3", I think, 6'4".
And that means that Quindary Weatherspoon got 6 defensive rebounds.
Yeah. But the 8 offensive rebounds is the more impressive stat there. Because being in position to get an offensive rebound is a little more difficult. But just as a whole, like that's a phenomenal game from him. Just 14 rebounds alone.
It's fun to make fun of another basketball team.
Highlights here.
Yeah.
4 of them as starters had double-digit scoring.
Yes, Quindary Weatherspoon, Malik Newman, Craig Sword, and I'm absolutely flabbergasted to see this, Travis Daniels with a 13-point game.
You bash him a lot, but he just doesn't take many shots. He hasn't had many shots all year.
He hasn't taken?
Taken? Tooken?
He hasn't
not
taken.
Tooken.
He hasn't.
We're going to go with
Tooken. No, it's he hasn't taken. You know, like the movies, I Will Find You, I Will
the
Kill You,
series,
Liam Neeson.
They're awful. They're all awful.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
Shooting from 3-point range. If you weren't a starter, you weren't good for Mississippi State, but if you were a starter, you were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
3 guys were shooting 50% from 3-point range. They're all starters.
Yeah.
And then Sword, I don't know why he's even attempting a 3-point shot. The man is very good at driving. He's very good at defense to an extent,
mm-hmm.
perimeter defense. He's not good at shooting range. And Eric Holman, you know, I don't know what you could expect from him right now because he's still kind of, I don't know that he's fully healed yet. I'm not sure I buy that with the surgery he had. Plus, this is the first time he's gotten meaningful minutes, and it was only 16 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, him shooting 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 2 from behind the arc, I'm fine with that because you just, one, you don't need to be relying on him to win the game. But you shouldn't expect him to at this point in his career. Now, down the road, he'll be a phenomenal stretch four. I think he'll develop that 3-point shot he did in high school. But just right now, you know, Malik Newman and Quindary Weatherspoon are probably the two guys you should go to for 3-point range.
I think that's kind of obvious.
But something interesting. IJ Reddy. Okay. Travis Daniels got the start over IJ Reddy. It was just an interesting note to me.
Well, it's
because probably, IJ Reddy's been playing well.
I think the reason why is because Gavin Ware was out. So if I don't know why we would have had. What was our start?
You don't want the smallest lineup possible?
Yeah. In that case, that would have been Weatherspoon, Newman, IJ Reddy, Holman, and Craig Sword.
You know, there is a movement in the NBA going to smaller lineups like that, where you have four guards and then a small forward as your center.
Well, you know what? We don't have Steph Curry. We don't have Klay Thompson.
We don't have Draymond Green.
Don't talk about him. I don't like him. He frustrates me.
Okay, back to this game.
Yeah.
Back to this
game. May I speak now? Because you have literally been talking. Okay.
It's my birthday. I've had a few drinks.
Oh, no. Oh, great. Knowing that you are officially 21 years old, you are going to be making I'm drunk excuses now, and in addition to I'm on drugs. So,
well, I'm not on drugs anymore, and I'm probably not going to drink that much while on the show, but I did have a few.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm going to speak now. What I was going to say was this was a game where Gavin Ware was out, and we both expected to lose at that point. We both DM'd each other saying we're going to lose. And I knew that we were just going to have to shoot the ball well because we really don't have someone that can play well down low beyond Gavin Ware because we haven't seen the potential of Eric Holman, and Johnny Zapardo has struggled mightily, and Travis Daniels is not a Gavin Ware type down
low.
He's
a guard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we just needed to shoot the ball well, and I'm not confident in our abilities shooting the ball. Luckily for us, we were able to shoot the ball well, shooting 45.9% from the field. Not a stellar day from beyond the arc, but we were able to make up shots in the field. And another thing lucky for us is that Missouri is one of the worst teams offensively I've ever seen. So that's...
They have to be one of the worst all time in the SEC.
Yeah. You know, this is... I feel sorry. You want to hear the weirdest thing about this?
No.
Missouri beat Auburn.
What?
Auburn beat Kentucky. No.
How?
Missouri is better than Kentucky.
SEC basketball
fever.
Malaria? Like, it's beyond just a fever.
Hashtag
at this point.
SEC basketball Ebola. You know, tweet that out. Tweet that out. Oh, speaking of tweeting, the show is very quality. I have to mention that. Tweet out hashtag SEC basketball. We're tweeting that right now.
Hashtag, I got it.
Well, I'm tweeting it from my account too. So.
Okay.
Okay. So 1 second. I'm typing. Ebola. Perfect. That's fantastic. Hashtag SEC basketball Ebola. SEC basketball Ebola has actually been created before.
Interesting.
The first tweet it's ever been used was from Lucas Jackson, hashtag SEC basketball Ebola has broken out in Starkville on on March 2nd, 2013.
He's with, who is it?
Good Bull Hunting?
Yeah. And you've got Alligator Army tweets it a couple times. A Gator fan tweets it. Yeah.
So, yeah. But once again, back to the point, we were able to fill the Gavin Ware's void by shooting, once again, Malik Newman and Quindary Weatherspoon with the main performances of the day, getting 19 and 18. And then, in addition, Gavin guys, Craig Sword and Travis Daniels, back them up and get 13 and 15 there. So that is what I was trying to do, quick math, 37, 50, 65 of our 76 points from four guys.
And, you know, imagine if you put in Gavin Ware, who gets 15 point whatever points per game.
No, I will say this. I believe that if Gavin Ware did play, Travis Daniels wouldn't have had as good of a game.
Take about 10 points off of Travis Daniels' total.
Yeah.
Take a few points off Craig Sword's total.
Mm-hmm.
But the point remains, we're scoring in the 80s, probably.
Yeah.
So,
once again, knowing how bad Mississippi State's defense is, and this is a defense that switched to zone at points in this game, it just proves just how bad Missouri's offense is. And, so if you have any other thoughts about this game, you may share.
Free throws were a little bit of concern to me.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
Craig Sword only hit 50% of his. Weatherspoon was 2 of 4. So that's a little frustrating. But this is a game where, one, Malik Newman played well. Just, you know, he's continuing this streak of games where he's been playing well. But we're really seeing the raw potential of Quindary Weatherspoon.
Mm-hmm.
Some have been saying, oh, Weatherspoon's better this year right now. And, talent-wise, I think Malik projects to be better long-term. But Quindary Weatherspoon, if he can really continue to develop as a player, because you see him getting 14 rebounds, 18 points, only had 2 turnovers. If Quindary Weatherspoon can really continue this development, he's going to be someone the SEC is truly afraid of, not only by the end of this season, but really going into next season.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be his team. We've said that before. And you get him into his natural position of shooting guard, get him at the 2 spot where he's not trying to get these rebounds, contend with small forwards, power forwards, get him back out into space shooting more, which is absurd because he's already getting 15 shots in the Missouri game, but get him truly developing as a shooter as well. I legitimately think he could make it to the NBA at the end of next season.
Okay.
Just the way he's playing right now. That's the end of that note, I guess.
All right. I wasn't paying it. I don't even know who you were talking about. Okay. Who are you
talking about? Quindary Weatherspoon.
I agree with you. I think I've said this now since the Ole Miss game that I think he could get serious consideration this season because he has performed very well in consecutive games now since switching to that 4-guard lineup and becoming a starter, which Ben Howland has been regretting since that Ole Miss game. We should have put him in as a starter earlier, without a doubt. I think he'll be gone after next year. But anyways, we play Alabama. Do you want to talk about this or talk about the women first?
Let's finish the recaps and then going forward.
All right, women. Women's basketball team played twice against Tennessee, against Arkansas. We're not going to talk about the Arkansas game, but that was a 65-55 Bulldog victory. But we are going to talk about on the road in Fayetteville. But we're going to talk about arguably the biggest win in program history.
This is a passing of the torch type game, honestly.
Yeah. A 65-63 overtime victory over the Tennessee Volunteers, a team that the commentators reminded us over a million, or about 57 times, that we were previously 0-36 against, now 1-36.
I think it was 36 times, exactly.
It was 36 times.
I think they
planned
it out to be 36 times.
It was 36 times.
Yeah.
But yeah, a 65-63 overtime victory. This game was kind of strange in ways where in the first half we see just a back and forth battle. It's 17-16 State at the end of the first quarter, and then it's tied at 33 at halftime. And I've been watching this game. I was excited to watch this. And then in the second half, that's as bad of an offensive performance as Mississippi State's played all year. We couldn't get anything. We were able to get some shots early in the third quarter, and then for the remainder of the third quarter, it was like a roller coaster running into a brick wall. It was terrible. And
so you're abandoning your tire burning,
I don't even
running into a city?
Yeah, but it was, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the description of Missouri basketball. I should have used that there. But anyways, they were like a roller coaster running into a brick wall. And Mississippi State was outscored 22-10 in the third quarter, went into the fourth quarter down 12 points, 55-43. At this point, I had turned the game off, but I was paying little attention to it. I would glance at the score on Twitter, and for the most part in that fourth quarter, Tennessee had the advantage, having an 8-point lead with 6 minutes left.
Yeah.
And then Mississippi State just slowly, or not really slowly, just inched their way back in the game. It was a 7-point Volunteer lead with 4.5 minutes left. And then I remember I checked Twitter at one point, we were down by 8. I do something, and then the next thing you know, we're tied at 58 with 2 minutes left. And at that point, I hurried back to the TV and turned it on. But, you know, there is one consistent theme we talk about with the men's team, and that is resiliency. The difference between the men's team and the women's team is the men's team is resilient. We just can't really finish games when we ultimately come back. This is a game where we were pretty much down and out. Down by 8. Vic Schaefer said that we were on life support in that fourth quarter, down 7 with 4.5 minutes left, and then all of a sudden we make some shots, get some defensive stops, and we're going into overtime at 50, tied at 58.
This is a game where two of your best offensive weapons, you know, Morgan William and Victoria Vivians, they shot, you know, 4 of 16 Vivians and then 4 of 17 for William.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you know, you don't expect them shooting that poorly. And then going into the fourth quarter, I don't have their fourth quarter stats, but just the way things kind of turned around those last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, who was it? Dillingham? She pretty much carried the team through that fourth quarter, felt like.
Yeah.
So.
But this Tennessee in the fourth quarter scored 5 points. 5 points.
No, that's their overtime score.
Oh.
They scored 3 points in the fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry. My fault.
You should be.
Appreciate it. They scored 3 points, which gives my point more support that they absolutely couldn't do a thing in the fourth quarter. They didn't score. They scored with 6 minutes and 34 seconds left in the fourth quarter. But they got a free throw, but they didn't make a shot. They made a shot with 6 minutes and 34 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and they didn't make a shot until 2 minutes and 47 seconds left in overtime. That's over 8 minutes of basketball they didn't score, in which they did not score.
Works for me.
Yeah, it definitely works for you. It works for the entire Mississippi State team. But in overtime, Victoria Vivians, ultimately, you mentioned Dominique Dillingham carrying the team in the fourth quarter. Victoria Vivians ultimately carried the team in overtime. Victoria Vivians got a jump, got an and one in the beginning part of overtime with 3 minutes and 15 seconds left that gave us a 3-point lead. Morgan William hit a big jumper with to take a 3-point lead with a minute left, and that's ultimately what sealed it. Chinwe Okori got the other shot for Mississippi State. So not really.
She had a lot of rebounds too. Her and McCowan kind of dominated the boards.
Well, I'm not necessarily surprised on McCowan's part.
No.
Because she's large.
But together they had 15 rebounds.
Yeah.
And McCowan had that in 12 minutes of playing time.
Indeed.
She was not on the court for very long and still performed very well.
McCowan hasn't found a lot of playing time in the last couple of games.
It's kind of hard getting into the deepest part of SEC play. You want your starters obviously playing as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
You want your best players out there. That being said, this team is very deep.
Yeah.
So you really don't have any wrong options to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So indeed. I would expect as the season winds down that going into the SEC Women's Tournament, you'll get McCowan getting a little bit more playing time, resting some of the starters a little bit more as they prepare to go through the gauntlet that is SEC Women's Basketball.
Indeed. So I guess that will pretty much just do it for our women's basketball talk. We'll talk about the game in Baton Rouge on Wednesday for as much as we can if we want to at that time. But yeah, Mississippi State after the two victories, now 19-4 and 6-3 in the SEC, which I believe puts us tied for second in the conference behind South Carolina.
Yep, we're tied with Florida,
and I believe Texas A&M.
No, A&M's. Got a 3.5. They're behind South Carolina by 3.5 games because they only have 5 wins in conference.
Oh, 5-3. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we are in men's basketball. Back to men's basketball. We're going to talk about that Alabama Crimson Tide. Paul! Sorry, actually. Yeah. I shouldn't mention Paul because Alabama fans only care about football. Sorry.
This is true. My sister does not care at all about any of the other sports whatsoever, except gymnastics a little bit. Bama fans care about gymnastics.
Alabama does have a good gymnastics program.
They've got a good softball program, too.
Hmm. You would know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to address something about Alabama here.
Go for it.
Alabama could be the weirdest team I've ever seen in my life. This is a team, just looking at their schedule, that lost to Dayton by 32 points.
Ooh.
They then beat Notre Dame. Beat a really god-awful, absolutely god-awful Southern Miss team by only 3. Then traveled to Clemson and won. Got tight with Oregon.
You skipped their win over Wichita State.
They did beat Wichita State, led by Greg Marshall, who was rumored for the Alabama job, by the way. Got tight with a good ranked Oregon team. And then has an overtime victory over Jacksonville State. Lost to Kentucky by 16. Then turns around and beats South Carolina by 23. Loses to Vanderbilt. Loses to Auburn. Beats Tennessee, barely,
and then barely lost to LSU. Carolina.
Yeah, this is a weird team. This is a really weird team. This is an 11-9 team, 2-6 in conference, and they are really.
How many ranked wins do they have?
Plenty. I don't know if Notre Dame,
South Carolina,
is Notre Dame ranked.
Yes, currently they're ranked, and Wichita State is ranked. So it's 3 top 20 wins.
Yeah.
For this team that is 11-9, just barely above 500.
That lost to Dayton by 32. That lost.
They might have more top 20 wins than A&M, South Carolina, and Kentucky.
And this team is 11-9.
Yeah.
So really, this team really good or really bad, and there is absolutely no in-between.
Oh, Lord. I hope we catch them playing god-awful.
They've struggled in SEC play with the exception of a win, with the exception of their win over South Carolina and wins over South Carolina and Tennessee. South Carolina was probably the best game they've played all year. But outside of that, they have lost to Ole Miss, lost to Kentucky, lost to Vanderbilt, Auburn, LSU, and South Carolina, and losing to Auburn, as we have established, is not good.
No.
This, looking at their road slate, we mentioned their 32-point loss to Dayton. Their 3-point win over Southern Miss, and Southern Miss is, they're bad. They're currently, Southern Miss basketball, they are currently 7-12. And back to their schedule. They beat a decent Clemson team by a point on the road. They lost to Ole Miss on the road, lost to Vanderbilt on the road, lost to Auburn on the road, and lost to South Carolina on the road. So they've played well in non-conference on the road, with the exception of that Dayton game. Not in SEC play. So that could be a possible advantage for Mississippi State.
Yeah. Read earlier today that Gavin Ware might be back. He didn't.
That'd be wonderful.
Did like a no contact practice today, and they're expecting him to play tomorrow. Which we absolutely need Gavin Ware to play tomorrow.
Yeah.
Regardless of which Alabama team turns up, they're not as bad as Missouri, even on their worst days.
Mm-hmm.
You need, you know, if we can get four starters scoring in double digits again, I think we have a good shot at winning this game.
Certainly. Alabama, looking at their stats, isn't fantastic offensively, looks decent defensively, averaging 66.7 points per game and giving up 67.1 points per game. So average-wise, they're being outscored by a third of a point.
They're rebounding as badly as we are. 35 rebounds per game, we're rebounding 33.9.
Yeah,
that's I'd love push. It. We have a few more assists per game, so
I want to see their. I'm gonna pull up their roster really quickly, just to see their.
Look at their big men.
That's what I was gonna do. Look
at the size of the team. Yeah, because that's typically the determining factor, as we've established.
The tallest player in their team is Jimmy Taylor, who is a junior forward who is 6'10".
Is he from 1943 with that name?
Hello, everybody. My name is Jimmy Taylor.
Does he have a handlebar Jimmy mustache? Taylor.
He's
a monocle.
He was a star. He's either the Monopoly Man or he was a star of silent films.
Yeah.
And now, coming up to the Oscar stage is Mr. Jimmy Taylor. Then they have another junior forward, 6'9". Nice. Michael Kessens. And they've got a 6'9 freshman forward. I don't know how much he plays, named Dante Hall.
Probably.
6'9.
And then they've got another forward.
Junior forward, Shannon Hale, who we know plays one of the better team players on their team, who's 6'8. So they do not have a lot of, they have more depth down low than Mississippi State. But with that being said, they don't have really much of an imposing player, with the exception of old Jimmy Taylor.
He's tall, but he's not built very big. He's 6'10", 248. What isn't Gavin Ware like 260, 270, something like that?
I believe so, yeah. I think 260 is correct.
Yeah, and Gavin Ware is huge. Like, his arms are gigantic. He's not a guy that I would want mad at me. So I think it roughly equals out Johnny Sapardo, Eric Holman, Gavin Ware, and then Travis Daniels. I think that's roughly equal. to there.
I would like to say this. This is off topic of from the game. Yeah. But the first two ads on the side of their roster are a blinking ad for either buying Football National Championship merchandise or the Football National Championship DVD, and underneath it is an auctions for jerseys signed by Nick Saban.
I get one that says, I've got the National Championships one, and yeah, I've got the jerseys as well.
There we go. Roll Tide. But yeah, with knowing just how weird this team is, and Avery Johnson's kind of weird, and he's got that really weird voice, and, you know, hi, my name's Avery Johnson. I think that's actually a decent Avery Johnson impression.
Yeah.
Is it, do you think?
I don't know. I haven't heard the man in a while, and didn't he play for the Mavs?
Correct. He did play for the No, he did not play for the Mavs. He coached the Mavs.
But he played for them, too.
I know he coached them to the NBA Finals before losing to the Heat.
Avery Johnson's Wikipedia page. Playing career. He played for the Supersonics, the Nuggets, Spurs, Rockets, Spurs, Warriors, Spurs,
the Rockets,
Nuggets, Mavs, Warriors. Yeah.
He played for every NBA franchise ever created.
And a team called Palm Beach Stingrays at the beginning of his career, which is in the U.S. Basketball League back in 1988, which I'm probably not around anymore.
Good for him. So, yeah.
He was not a great player, is what it's looking like.
And Avery Johnson's son plays on the team.
On Alabama?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Unless there's just some random guy in the world who's named Avery Johnson Jr.
You never know.
Anyways. So, that wasn't much of a preview, but I don't care. Do you have a prediction?
I just don't know which Alabama team you're going to get. And that's hard to predict. I honestly don't know how to predict this game just looking me at neither. Alabama's schedule. Let's just go with Mississippi State 75, Alabama 63.
All right.
That's what's popping to my head. What do you have?
I think this is a game that Mississippi State certainly can win.
Yeah.
Mississippi State should have some momentum coming off of the win in the last home game against Ole Miss, and ultimately a win on Saturday against Missouri. But I'm still not necessarily confident in this team.
No, not yet.
I don't think anyone should be confident in this team.
No.
I think this is something that Mississippi State, as usual, will get close. We'll maybe come back in the end. We'll get really close, but ultimately Alabama's just a bit more talented and just sort of spreads it out. So I'll pick Alabama 68, or no, Alabama 72, Mississippi State 66. I hope I'm wrong.
Again, it depends on which Alabama team shows up, how healthy Gavin Ware is. I would not be surprised to see Alabama win this. You really could flip a coin, probably.
Yeah.
So that ends that.
Yeah, so recruiting.
Cruding. Yay. We had some questions about recruiting, actually, didn't we?
Do you want to answer questions, or just you want to go ahead and get into recruiting?
Let's just get into recruiting. What is there to talk about with recruiting right now besides don't tweet recruits?
I would like to speak.
Okay. Go for it.
I don't obsess over recruiting.
Uh-huh.
I pay attention to recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't necessarily... I'm not going to say I don't care about it, but I don't put a lot of attention and energy into it.
Yeah.
I'll get excited if we get a four-star commit.
Yeah.
I'll look who it is. So look up who it is, and I'll say, "Great, he's committed." I'll wait for him to sign.
Text me.
I'll text you and tell them who it is. You know?
Yeah.
I don't necessarily get too excited because God knows what Mississippi State's history of recruiting and people decommitting.
Yeah.
As I'm going to get to that in this one class.
Well, this class has had a lot.
But, yeah, that's my thoughts about recruiting. With that being said, this class is frustrating. And Ethan, let me speak, because I know you're going to want to talk about the development thing, and I completely agree with you.
I don't care.
Okay.
Sweet. You can say whatever you want to say.
Do you want me to tell you who is, according to Scout, and I prefer Scout over 24/7, just because I kind of do. I don't know why, but I do.
You explained it before, but we're not going to get into that on air.
Yeah. Do you want me to tell you who is currently ranked one spot ahead of us in recruiting right now?
Is it someone like Vanderbilt or Bowling Green or whoever?
Western Michigan.
Oh, cool. Row the boat.
Row the boat, PJ Fleck. Yeah. Yeah.
Which we've discussed. He'd be a fun replacement.
He would be a fun head coach. He
leaves us.
He is legitimately insane, and he is my favorite coach in college football, but all right. You want me to tell you that Western Michigan got their first ever bowl win this season?
Cool.
And they're ranked ahead of us in recruiting?
That's cool.
That's their fifth bowl game ever.
Okay.
They've been to two in the last 2 years, so before these last 2 years, they've been to four bowl games, and they're ranked ahead of us in recruiting. Don't speak.
Can I just say one thing?
No.
Okay, what I was just going to say is one reason why Mississippi State's not recruiting well in this class is you had guys like Tony Hughes and Manny Diaz up and leave. That's all I'm saying. One of the reasons why we're losing so many commits.
Ethan, I agree with you. Ethan, I agree with you.
Just a lot of people don't think that through, that the guys that heavily recruit and bring them in.
But Ethan, I agree with you. Okay. The thing is, we still had a bad class before that.
Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't.
This class hasn't improved. This class hasn't gotten worse since then. A lot of the decommits that we've had recently committed to Mississippi State after Hughes and Diaz left.
Yeah.
Two that come to mind are Raekwon Davis, who was committed for 30 minutes, and what's his name? Zach Farrar, who was committed for like a week.
Tweeted at BYU fans and something like that.
Yeah, and then Oklahoma went after him and he went over to Oklahoma. Yeah.
At least it was an Ole Miss.
And this is a class. Well, I'm going to get to that. This is a class where if you were to ask me 2 weeks ago, or not 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, if you would put two people in front of me, A.J. Brown, four-star wide receiver out of Starkville, and Scott Lashley, four-star offensive lineman out of West Point. Scott Lashley actually committed to Mississippi State, and when I said 30 minutes on Raekwon Davis, I was being hyperbolic, I was exaggerating. Scott Lashley was legitimately committed to Mississippi State for 30 minutes before decommitting. Because apparently he never told his parents.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But Scott Lashley was a Mississippi State lock. Locked up in stone. It is uncertain now if he will go to Mississippi State. Yep. And this is an offensive lineman. It's not like any of the position coaches got up and left.
We need offensive linemen.
I mentioned this to you before the show, that someone tweeted Steve Robertson, or will there be any Mississippi State media at Scott Lashley's signing? Steve Robertson said, undecided. That's not a good sign. Because usually Mississippi State media will go to a recruit signing day if they're confident he will commit to sign with Mississippi State. Like, for example, there was all Mississippi State media went to Malik Newman's signing day. If they weren't confident he would have signed, if they were confident he was not going to go to Mississippi State, they wouldn't have gone. So if they're undecided, that's not a good sign. 2 months ago, if you would ask me where would A.J. Brown go, four-star wide receiver out of Starkville, I would probably say Mississippi State. That has slipped down because after the Starkville-Oxford game, it was obvious that A.J. Brown was a far better wide receiver than DK Metcalf, so Ole Miss just absolutely opened the floodgates and chased after him like teenage girls going after the Beatles in the 1960s. There is a very good possibility that A.J. Brown would go to Ole Miss, a very good possibility that A.J. Brown would go to Alabama, and Mississippi State is pretty much out of the running now. And this guy, guess where he lives? Guess where he goes to high school? Starkville, Mississippi.
I will say this for someone who, you know, grows up and lives in Starkville. You know, Starkville's not a big town, and there's big world out there. I don't blame him for leaving. So I know a lot of people are going to get mad at me for that, but whatever.
I agree with you, and I will say that Mississippi State in the SEC, particularly the SEC West, it is the most difficult place to coach and recruit in the SEC, because Mississippi State's very limited in terms of, you know, our facilities have improved. I won't say that we're limited in terms of facilities, but overall budget we're limited. The town, probably the worst town in the SEC, and I love Starkville. I love it to death, but it's the worst town in the SEC.
I mean, there's a reason why we're a baseball school and not a football school.
The history is the worst in the SEC. It is definitely debatable. People can definitely say it is the worst in the SEC. I wouldn't, but you could make the argument.
Record-wise, we are the worst. Percentage-wise, mm-hmm. we're the worst. We're worse than Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. But
it is what it is.
The thing is, I'm going to use last year as an example. On some website, I don't remember which one, but Mississippi State was ranked with the number 15 recruiting class in the country.
It's not 24/7. We're 18 there.
Oh, well, it's with some website. I know we were in the top. We were number 15 in something. I'm 98% sure.
Yeah. Okay.
This was a class that people would say that the 2014 season, when we went 10-3 and all that stuff, affected it.
Uh-huh.
No. No. We already had a good class in set before the season started. Yep. Plenty of our 4-stars committed at Big Dog Camp before the season, like Jamal Peters, for example. Leo Lewis decommitted from Alabama and was pretty much set on Mississippi State after Big Dog Camp. Of course, there was some drama in his recruitment with Ole Miss, but that was just purely drama,
and I had a feeling.
I had a feeling since Big Dog Camp that he was going to be that he was a bulldog, and that ended up happening.
Fletcher Adams, his brother, goes here.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff.
Yeah,
this is the first full class since the 2014 season, and we have strung together right now, according to Scout, the 46th ranked recruiting class in the country. Once again, looking back at Dan Mullen's time at Mississippi State, it usually means that the lower stars end up being the promising ones, the best ones, and the higher stars are more likely to flop at Mississippi State for some reason. I don't know why, but that tends to be the case. And that's frustrating. But with that being said, at some point, I mean, it's obvious that Mississippi State, although it is the hardest program in the SEC at which to recruit.
Yeah.
We can win. And 2014 was a prime example of that.
I mean, this past year wasn't too far off from that.
The reason why we weren't able to beat Alabama, Ole Miss, A&M. LSU, Texas A&M, because we didn't have talent. We had some talent. We had developed talent, but we didn't have talent ready to go in a frozen package, ready to be in the microwave and warmed up and ready to go. Ole Miss has that. Alabama has plenty of that. Texas A&M has plenty of that. LSU, plenty of that. Those are the four teams we lost to.
Yeah.
And if we want to take that next step, we have to get talent. I don't care if we get one 5-star per class. Just one. That's a 5-star. That's talent. That is ready to go talent, packaged up and ready to ship. We see Ole Miss recruiting phenomenally. They currently have the 3rd ranked recruiting class in the country with 4 5-stars, and they're expected to get another, and Jeffrey Simmons, and maybe another one. In my opinion, as long as we're recruiting like this and they're recruiting like that, we're not going to beat them again. simply because of talent. We played at home where we never lose to, or at least hadn't lose to Ole Miss in a very long time. Usually do not lose to Ole Miss in a very long time at home. And we got our, want to use profanity, we got our butts absolutely slaughtered against Ole Miss at home. You know why? Because we didn't have the talent to match up. And Ole Miss, they already had plenty of talent with Laquon Treadwell and Robert Kimdichie and Laramie Tunsil. They're going to get even more. And by 2018, in my opinion, we both agree, they're going to win the SEC. Because they already had that talent the last couple of years. They had Bo Wallace for two of those years. Chad Kelly's a very good quarterback, and that's the reason why they won the Sugar Bowl, because Chad Kelly was a very good quarterback alongside the talent. In 2018,
he's the reason why we lost to them.
Yeah. In 2018, they're going to get a better quarterback. Have you heard of Shea Patterson, Ethan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only The reason why
Mississippi State's played well in the last 2 years is because of a good quarterback. We've been waiting for, we've had some good pieces around a quarterback, but we haven't had the complete quarterback under Dan Mullen's system, and we finally had that, and we thrived. Ole Miss, these last couple of years, have had fantastic pieces around the quarterback, a decent quarterback, and now they are going to get a phenomenal star at quarterback. You know why? Recruiting.
And I as will long say as this.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let you speak now.
I will say this. I do think, even though you tend to overreact, you bring up some valid points here.
Thank you.
But you're still overreacting, in my opinion. You just look at the guys that Mullen recruits, and these are the guys he tends to get, the three stars, the occasional four star, occasional two star. These are the guys that'll want to come to Starkville, want to be here for a while and develop. He gets the occasional JUCO guy to come in. He got five of them or whatever this past class. I don't know. He has five enrollees in this most recent class. Mullen's whole process here, Bama fans talk about the process with Saban and whatnot. Mullen's version of that is getting these guys that have some sort of potential long-term and developing them. And I do agree that this past season we lost to the more talented teams. I will honestly, openly admit that even the teams that have dumber coaches than Mullen, and Les Miles and Kevin Sumlin still beat us sheerly out of talent. But we played a lot of freshmen this year, and you talked about it. It was Mullen's best class, 2015, where you had a lot of talented freshmen. You have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, something like 6, 7 four stars there? So there's
It's a good handful, yeah.
What?
I said it's a pretty large handful, yeah.
So either way, we played, the 18th most amount of freshmen in the nation, the second most in the SEC. So these younger guys are getting experience earlier, and I think that'll pay off this year in 2017. I think 2017 is our year, and 2018 will be Ole Miss's year. But just, I think we should pump the brakes a little bit, slow it down, and just because I don't buy recruiting. Right. I understand the whole, it's how you develop your football, it's whatever. I think Mullen will find a way to make it work, because he always has. And assuming he's going to be around, just under the assumption that he's around 3, 4, or 5 more years, whatever.
I'm not assuming.
No, I. Okay, just let's work under the assumption that he is, okay? I don't think he will be. I don't think he's here for more than 2 more years.
I agree with that.
But under the assumption that he's here for 3 or more, this is how he's done the program, and this is how he's built it to what it is now. So I just, for the fans that are freaking out about it, I think just calm down, yourself included.
No, Ethan. Ethan, I've said this to you, that I'm not freaking out about it. I don't think this program is going down the tank simply because of recruiting. I'm just frustrated. It's not that I'm freaking out. It's not that I'm going to jump off a building because I don't think this program has any future because of recruiting. I'm just saying that I don't think we're ever going to take that next step, is what I'm saying. I still think we're going to be a consistent bowl team. Eight, nine win teams per year.
Mississippi State fans have been saying that for the past 6 years, it feels like. We're never going to get to that next step. We're never going to be. We beat LSU last year. We had a shot at beating them this year with a missed field goal.
LSU was a mediocre team last year.
Okay. Still beat
them. Auburn was a mediocre. I agree with that. LSU is, that's my favorite win ever. I will forever love that win. It's the first time LSU has ever beaten us in my lifetime. It's like we've beaten LSU in my lifetime. It's like the Berlin Wall just came down.
What I'm trying to say is, we are on the verge. We are on the verge of breaking through. Mullen has gotten us to this point where we are contending for the SEC West.
Ethan, I agree with that.
And I don't think we're that far off.
I agree with you.
Of the spectrum here.
I agree with you.
Think we'll ever break through. I think, you know, we're not.
No, under Dan Mullen, no.
Yeah.
Because at this point,
have to stay for another 5 years for us to win the West.
That's not happening.
We've talked about this. I'm not going to say my exact thoughts on the show, but yeah.
So on Thursday, it will be my birthday show.
Yeah. We'll have Ole Miss fans on for you.
Well, thanks for the gift, Ethan. Ethan, please explain it to these people, because I'm sure
I explained it to you. That's the only person that matters for this show.
Yeah, and I still don't even understand your explanation, because it's dumb.
Why did I get them to come on the show?
Dumb.
Okay.
It's my birthday show, and you decide to bring Ole Miss people on, and it's signing day, and they're, like, good at recruiting, and you're going to ask them about NCAA violations, and I guarantee anything I have that they're going to say, oh, it doesn't matter. Houston, nothing's going to happen. Women's basketball. So.
You already know.
I would much rather just not be a part of the interview. Can I just sit there and record it and not speak?
Yes, I've already told you that.
Good. I'm not going to be a part. Fantastic. Ethan, you're going to be the voice of reason on this show on Thursday. But anyways,
as always.
Yeah. Says the guy who said we were going to go 10-2 this year, yeah. On the show, Thursday will be our signing day special.
You're looking for the assumption that we're going to go 3-9 every year.
I never, what? I said we were going to go 8-4 last year.
What? Didn't you say on your last show that that we would go 7-5?
On the last show? After we lost
on your
to Ole Miss,
last show.
No, I said we were going to. Yes, and then I changed the prediction before the season to 8-4 with a win over LSU. I have it written down. I tweeted it before the season. I will show you the tweet. I said we were going to go 8-4, 4-4. The year before that, I said we were going to go 9-3. And in 2013, the first year I actually started predicting these things, I got the record and the entire schedule nail on the head.
Okay. What I'm telling you.
So
is
my
you
predictions
started
are
out
pretty
with
accurate. And then I changed it.
Said 7-5. You cheat.
And then I changed it.
You cheated.
No, I tweeted it before the season, 8-4. You said 10-2.
What did I tweet at you? Did I say 10-2 for this past season?
This is, yes, you told you. No.
We should
Other than the LSU game, name a game where we should have beaten a team.
We should have beaten A&M.
We lost by 13 points.
Yeah, it was a dumb loss.
In my opinion, the only way we should have beaten anybody is if we lost by a touchdown or less, not by 13 points. But anyways, we're not talking about this. We have to go.
We should talk about
On Thursday will be our signing.
There should have
signing.
Losses. We shouldn't have lost to Miss. We shouldn't have lost to A&M.
Signing day. Signing days. Signing day special.
Those are games
special.
We should have won.
I want to murder someone. Signing day special.
Murder someone. I'm going to keep it, you know, interrupting you.
Signing day special. Okay. Well, I can stop recording the show. Signing day special on Thursday. We're going to talk about Mississippi State's basketball game against Alabama and other stuff.
Yeah. There's bad weather coming in. People stay safe.
Yeah. Aren't there like tornadoes and stuff?
There's going to be tornadoes coming up. Up through y'all, I think, too.
Ooh. That's not good.
You need to stay safe.
I do need to stay safe.
So, all of our listeners, Ole Miss fans, whoever, don't die. Yeah. We like to thank y'all. So.
Yeah, and Ethan, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Again.
This is one of the weirder shows.
Yeah.
Not one of the better ones. Kind of jumbled thoughts. Nah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, final thoughts. Go ahead.
Oh, I said jumbled thoughts. Our thoughts were not, my thoughts were more jumbled than yours, but, you know, that's kind of normal. Final thoughts. This is something that people, for whatever reason, still don't get. Don't tweet recruits. Don't retweet them. Don't fave them. Unless you're like their cousin or something. You have no reason to interact with them on Twitter. It's weird. It's shady. It's sketchy. Just don't do it. No. Just say no. The recruit-centric, the Twitter accounts, just delete your account. Those accounts should not exist. And I'm not talking about like the scout accounts and the 24/7 accounts. That's a different story. I don't think that should be an industry the way it is. But the, I'm just going to directly say it, the MSU Dog Pound, Bulldog Recruiting, whatever, that account should not exist. You should not be tweeting recruits. It is weird. It is creepy. It's just, they're anywhere from 15 to 18 and you don't know them. Why are you tweeting them? Just don't do it. Just say no. It's weird. It's wrong. I don't understand. I mean, yeah, I was that person that, oh, you know, recruiting, so interesting. I did that for maybe one, two recruiting cycles. And then I took a step back and realized these are people. They're kids, roughly. I mean, it's just not right. There's nothing right about it. It'd be like if someone were tweeting at you, Daniel, just constantly, hey, come to Oregon. Hey, come to Oklahoma. Hey, blah, blah, blah. Just, would you appreciate that?
No.
No?
No.
Because you're in the age range, like you'll be turning 16 on Wednesday.
Correct.
When we record next.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're the same age as a lot of these recruits. And I don't understand why we are so obsessed, as college football Twitter is, with tweeting recruits. It's an NCAA violation, a very minor one, but it's still a violation. Just don't do it.
I think I
said it's creepy like 20 times. It's still creepy.
And we still have to answer questions, but let me
play. Oh, we do have to answer questions, don't we?
Yeah, this is a really long show, but let me play something.
Go for it.
No to drugs. I say no to gangs.
I say no to tweeting recruits.
Yes.
Did you hear me?
Did you hear that?
Yeah. That's what I was referencing.
Telco Ag.
At Telco Ag. Who retweeted a recruit on accident.
Okay, we need to get through these questions really quickly.
Go.
All right. Ethan, what did you get for your birthday from Corbin?
I got a hammock like a month ago.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
This isn't a question, but I am so happy this was said. Do the CBS Game of the Week theme that Daniel always did. Thank you, Lewis. Let's do it.
We don't have time.
Okay, there we go. Okay. KT Vanderlip, Mr. Vanderlip on Twitter, a lot of questions. Number one, currently Malik Newman is fourth in the record book for three-pointers made by an MSU freshman with 52. Will he break the record of 68? The answer is yes.
Easily.
Number two, currently Malik Newman is sixth in the record book for three-pointers attempted by an MSU freshman with 123. Will he break the record of 174?
Yes. Maybe.
Three-pointers attempted?
I think, you know, percentage-wise, it's getting better. I could see it happening. I just think it's more likely that I'll break the made ones over attempted ones.
Okay, number three. Is it okay if I tweet recruits to let them know how much fun Mississippi State University is? No. Number four. Is it okay if I wish Ethan a happy birthday since I know I shouldn't tweet recruits?
I'm not a recruit.
And by the way, happy birthday, Ethan.
Thank you. I'm 21. Cue the Coach Gundy, I'm a man speech.
Do you want me to play that?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, why not?
No, well, okay.
But it's just something that there's a little bit different here. It's just not right, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the I'm a man? I'm 40.
Oh, man.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
Yep. I love Coach Gundy.
Okay, number five. I wish he could have pulled out that sugar ball this year, huh? Number five. What do you guys think about a SMH tweet of the week? Shake my head, tweet of the week. You would read a tweet directed at one of you from the past week that just made you shake your head.
I think most of these tweets would originate from the other one of us.
Yeah. It's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
Number six. Did I mention happy birthday, Ethan?
Thank you, Mr. Vanderlip.
Yeah, and he says send questions to Adam Statecast and birthday wishes to you. So
soon they're going to have to send birthday wishes to a groundhog and then you.
More importantly, me.
Yeah.
So yeah, now that will wrap it up for this episode of In the Podcast Souls. On Thursday, it will be our National Signing Day special with two Ole Miss fans, and I'm still mad about that. And we'll talk. I know you don't because you're a sick human being. And then we're going to talk about Mississippi State basketball's game against Alabama and do other stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, for me, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee, happy birthday, by the way, again.
Gosh. Thank you.
Yeah. This has been the For Whom the Podcast Tolls. We'll see you Thursday. And everybody, be sure to be very quality.